just to catch you up. Of all the aspects of religion, from ancient times to the present, prayer is perhaps the most common thread. Whether we're talking about Hindus, Muslims, Jews, Christians, even pagans of ancient Greece and Rome, we're talking about people who prayed, who communicated with their God. Why? Because whether couched in elaborate rituals and ceremonies or the simple prayer of a single man on a hillside or a sailor who is in a terrible storm at sea, man has always had the need to communicate with his God, either real or imagined. And, of course, we wonder, well, where did that start? We forget sometimes, and when we're talking about the eternal nature of God, that He was here before the earth was. And from Adam and Eve on, men communicated with whom? With Him. He was the first that men spoke to in prayer. He was the first one petitioned. And so, as we see in Romans 1, it was only after men chose to reject God that they began to be praying to other things. But nevertheless, we should not be surprised that prayer would be a common thread in anything even claiming to be religious. Of course, we know that the most elaborate and well-phrased prayers, well-orchestrated prayers, are utterly useless to gods which don't exist. Sincerest of worshipers just wasting their time praying to Diana of the Ephesians or Buddha or Molech or Zeus or Ra and all other false gods. But vain prayers didn't end with these prayers to these sinful pagan gods that didn't exist. People also could even pray to the right, the only true God, and still not be heard. In 1 Peter 3:12 it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Well, how does one know then that he's not evil and that God hears his prayers? Well, we don't have to guess or speculate about it for a moment. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight." Now, with this in mind, certainly it's important for us to know and understand God's will. That's the only way we can obey Him. But I would submit to you, it's also very important that we understand prayer so as not to ask amiss, not ask contrary to God's will. And this is, again, what we've been trying to do beginning just a few weeks ago in this series on prayer, as we began with the essentiality of praising God in prayer. And in continuing that series tonight, we're going to be looking at thanksgiving in prayer. You know, I was asked this morning to do a lesson on apathy, and I will, you know, at some time in the next few weeks. But have you ever thought about the fact that if we're really thankful to God, if we really remember to be thankful to Him in our prayers, it's very, very difficult for us to be apathetic or indifferent to His will. How can you be indifferent to one that you appreciate gives you everything that you have? Yeah? But anyway, looking at this, we want to note, first of all, one of the greatest lessons on thankfulness as contrasted with ingratitude is seen in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, as it says this, "And it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw them, He said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Jesus healed 10 men of the most horrible, incurable, disfiguring, deadly disease of their time. Men who were isolated from their families, men who were isolated from the normal, from normal society, as they were viewed by everyone as unclean. In fact, God in His law to Moses was very specific about how to treat someone who had leprosy. They were to be kept away from everybody else. They were to be viewed as unclean and not approached lest the disease might spread. Here Jesus healed these men. And very simply, He gave them their lives back. He enabled them to have a normal life, in other words. He enabled them to go back to their families if they had any. He enabled them to have families if they didn't have one before. He enabled them to go back into society and have a chance at happiness again, in addition to being healed physically. Can you imagine being saved from such misery and degradation and what it must have been like to see the ravages of this horrible disease just vanish away, replaced by clean, undiseased flesh? Can you imagine how they must have felt no longer to be a child's nightmare of rotting disfigurement? And yet, even though this was a great healing, even though this was to that point in time the greatest blessing, no doubt, that those men had ever received in their lives from anybody, only one returned to thank Jesus for it. And he was a lowly Samaritan, looked down as inferior by the more respectable Jews, if you will. One out of ten expressed his gratitude. Are you shocked at that? Are you amazed? Are you stunned? Are you astonished? Are you dumbfounded? Well, we ought not to be, because the percentage hasn't improved much, even among children of God today. God blesses us richly every day of our lives, James 1:17. But how many of us are truly thankful? How many of us remember to thank God in our prayer? Someone says, oh, well, you know what? I thank God every night for my blessings. What do you say? Thank you, God, for what you've given me. Well, what did you receive from Him? I don't remember specifically, but I'm sure I received something. I'd have to think about it. Here's the point. How can a person be thankful to God for blessings received if he doesn't even know what he's received? If he doesn't even remember what he's received? If we're sick, we have something very serious wrong with us, and we pray to God. Let me tell you for sure, we remember to pray to God for His healing and His help. And we encourage everybody that we can think of to pray for us in that situation. But what do we do after we're healed? What do we do after we recover? What do we do when the disease that we had built up into our minds to be so terrible wound up not being so bad at all? What do we do? Oh, we're happy as a dead pig in the sunshine. And we go on our way rejoicing. But do we thank the God of heaven from which these blessings came? If we're not aware of what God does in our lives for us, if we don't notice what God does for us in our lives, and we just say in our prayers to Him, well, thank you, God, for what you've done. Isn't that about like somebody standing up and jumping up in the middle of the pew and saying, praise God, and not even have his heart involved in it, because that's what they do? God blesses us so much in so many ways that certainly we may not remember all of them. But to say thank you without being able to remember a single thing that God has done for us in today's time, one might just as well not said anything. And to give God this rather vanilla, generic thanks with the attitude of, well, there must have been something He did for me today. I just can't put my finger on it right now. Do we think that God doesn't notice whether we thank Him or not? That it really doesn't make much difference to Him whether we approach Him in prayer or not? Well, look again at what Jesus asked when the one leper returned to Him and thanked Him, verses 17 and 18. And Jesus answering said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They are not here. They have not come back to give glory to God. Only the stranger, this lowly Samaritan." Ingratitude does not escape divine attention any more than proper thanksgiving does. Both are duly noted by the God of heaven. And that being the case, as we consider this, it's very important that we take note of how God sees us in this regard. As one of the 9 or as the 1. So, why should we thank God in our prayers? One thing, it's a command that's given to us in His Word, just like baptism, just like observing the Lord's Supper, just like loving one another. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." We're told to do all things by the authority of the Lord, but do you see this, what it's saying here? Yes, that's an important lesson. And that's why when we close our prayers, we say, "In the name or by the authority of Christ, we pray." But sometimes some pick up on that lesson without looking at the other part, giving thanks to God by Him. One is as much a command of God as the other is. Well, what are we commanded to thank God for? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So not thanking God is a violation of His express command, and it can cause us to lose our souls. Now let me interject one thing here. Does that mean that God just can't exist without our thanking Him? Not at all. Does it mean that He has to be thanked in a very flowery, glowing way? Not at all. But He wants us to thank Him. And if we can't find the words to thank Him properly, if we can't find the words to express the thanks we feel in our hearts to Him, we don't have to worry about that. Because He knows what we're asking, what we're saying to Him even before we ask. And so He knows. But the point is, He has commanded us to thank Him. And we have the responsibility to do that. So why should we thank Him for everything? James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Did you know that not thanking God is a violation of His will? And it can cause us to lose our souls. So that Jesus is our great example to God in all things pleasing to Him. 1 Peter 2:21 telling us that He left an example that we should follow His steps. So here's the question. Was Jesus thankful to God? Matthew 26:27 it says, "And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it." He thanked God for the loaves and the fish that were fed to the multitudes, Mark 8, verse 6, and gave thanks. You know what? The Lord even had the presence of mind to thank God, forget this, His answered prayers. John 11, verse 41, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me." Can you imagine that? Thanking God because He had heard and had fulfilled prayer. That should not be strange to any of us, should it? We see Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, as he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ, and characteristic of his following Christ's example, I submit to you, was his thanksgiving in prayer. For other faithful Christians, Romans 1, verse 8, first, I thank my God through Christ Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He thanked God for his saving grace, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. In fact, all but two of Paul's letters begin with passages of thanksgiving, proving that it was his common practice to thank God, that he appreciated what God had done for him, and he noted duly what God had done. So then, in addition to thanksgiving being a command, we have the approved example of Jesus and Paul and others doing it. Examples we're told to imitate and follow. So if we ignore these examples, can we be pleasing to God? Another reason to give thanks is because it honors or glorifies God. Romans 1:21 says of some who failed in this, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Because they refused to glorify God, obviously, they weren't thankful to Him. And the opposite of that is true as well. If you are thankful to God, then you're going to glorify Him. But these people vainly concluded they didn't need Him and His blessings. Notice again that when the Samaritan leper returned to thank Jesus, the Lord said that he had returned to give glory to God, which verse 15 says he did when he was healed. So when we give thanks to God, we do glorify Him. We acknowledge our dependence on Him for all we are and for all we have. Paul said this in Acts 17, verse 38, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Basically what that saying is, we owe our very existence to the God of heaven. And everything we have and everything we are, even our very breath of life. And how can one understand that and not be thankful to God? We should also thank God because it changes our normal perception of things. It takes our minds off what we don't have. It takes our minds off what we would like to have. And places our minds instead on what we do have, what we have been blessed with by God. Psalm 103:1-5 says typically, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Remembering what we have been given will make us more content with what we have in this life and not obsessed with getting more and not discouraged or disappointed over much by what we don't have. In 1 Timothy 4:1-5, Paul says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified or made holy by the word of God and prayer. We thank God. It helps us to understand that and to receive and enjoy what He's made available to us. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't have any undue concern. Don't be anxious about it. But thankful to God, pray to Him for what you need. And in this we're reminded that He can provide our greatest needs, that He will do what's best for us. He's promised to do that. And with that knowledge, with that grateful attitude, I would submit that when we pray to Him, we're going to ask in humble submission rather than demanding of Him in arrogant pride. Finally, we should be thankful because to not be is unthinkable, detestable, unconscionable. Look again at the character of those who refuse to glorify and thank God in Romans chapter 1. It says they were vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verses 24 and 25, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know what that proves? That we cannot live our lives on this earth doing things that are contrary to God's will and expect Him in the last day to just pat us on our little heads and say, come on into heaven. There's a lot of people that think that. The Scripture here shows that is not going to happen. When we fail to glorify Him, we refuse to accept and obey God as we should, as our Creator and the Sustainer of all things, and we trust instead in the worldly things of this life, what's He going to do for us? Same thing He did for these. Give us up to our delusion. Give us up to our uncleanness through the lust of our flesh. And He's not going to save us. And you know what? People who do that, they're no more grateful to God than these of Romans 1 were. They're not thankful. It doesn't cross their mind to thank Him because they don't respect Him anyway. They've turned their backs on Him. That's what an ungrateful person does. Seeks to satisfy his own lust, never appreciates what he has, and in the process, he turns away from God to whatever or whoever he thinks will give him what he wants. He's selfish, he's jealous, he's covetous, and absolutely unprincipled as he tries to satisfy himself. We teach our young children, and we see this almost every Sunday here, that some of the older folks will give something to one of the younger kids in the audience, and guess what they say? Thank you. You know why they say thank you? Because that's what their mothers and dads teach them. You be grateful for what people give you, and you thank them for it. And that is just impressed on their little minds to where many of them, you know, it would be unthinkable for them not to say thank you. And why do parents teach their children that? Because they don't want anybody to think that they're raising a bunch of spoiled brats. Spoiled, ungrateful kids that couldn't care less what people do for them or give to them. We don't want our kids to be thought of that way, do we? Not at all. Well, guess why God wants us to thank Him? Guess why so much in His Word is given to us on thanking Him for what we have in prayer. He doesn't want a bunch of selfish brats either. And just because we're members of the church doesn't mean that we're immune from becoming just that. Is it so very bad for us to be ungrateful to God? Is it such a bad thing to not remember to thank Him? Well, look at this, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also, that in the latter days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Boy, that's some pretty bad people. The list continues. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Boy, I tell you what, I don't want anything to do with people like that. But I left one out. Did you catch it? Unthankful people. They are included in this litany of sinful people. And you know what that shows us? That ingratitude is as bad as any of these other things. And it makes us no better than those who do these other things. And that's kind of scary, isn't it? Scary enough for us to realize that there are some very good reasons for us to thank God for what we have rather than just going our way and taking His provision for granted. How should we thank Him then? We need to remember, for one thing, to give Him thanks for our daily bread and other physical blessings, as Jesus teaches in Matthew 6, verse 11. He tells us in Matthew 7, 7 through 11, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, this again, it can be talked about as the way to salvation being open to people. But I would suggest to you that it also characterizes prayer. Because he goes on to say, for what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? We need to recognize and appreciate that loving provision. Just like we want our families to love and appreciate what we do for them. What about salvation and the Lord's sacrifice and the privilege of being God's children, being able to worship with strong brethren of like precious faith? And what about God's Word and all the other spiritual blessings that are ours to enjoy as faithful Christians that we do enjoy every day? We would be especially ungrateful to ignore these things, wouldn't we? When we thank God in our prayers. I don't think there's very seldom unless one just simply overlooks to include it in his prayer. And I've done that on occasion. But most of the times when a man gets up here to pray, at some point in that prayer, he's going to thank God for the sacrifice of his son and the salvation that he provides. Why is that? Because without His sacrifice, we couldn't be saved. And the prayer knows that and thanks God for it. Paul was ever mindful of these blessings as he exemplifies in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Studying the Scriptures not only help us in understanding what we should thank God for, but also in understanding the heart of thanksgiving that we're to have. Do you know, we don't have to teach brethren especially to be thankful to God, or we shouldn't. And we mention this only because in the understanding of prayer, this is an essential part. But all of us should feel so close to God in our hearts that we're just walking around all the time with a thankful attitude. You know, the command is given to pray without ceasing. I think thanksgiving is one of the things that keeps our prayers going without ceasing. Being ready and of a prayerful mind always, and noting the things that God does for us and what He has done for us. You see someone confused in their spiritual life. You see people that are unprincipled. And it's, as you see them, and as maybe you remember your past life before you were forgiven for your sins, and you see that, and you realize what God is capable of forgiving and what He has forgiven. And not only that He has forgiven us, but that He continues to sustain us. Even to the extent that the very hairs of our head are numbered. Do you know that if you have a real need, God knows it? Now, He expects you to pray and ask Him for it as best you can. But He knows everything about you. He knows everything you have. He knows everything you are. He knows everything that you do. And He also knows your heart. And He knows whether it's full of thanksgiving or whether you're one of the 10, one of the 9 lepers that just went on their merry way rejoicing at the great blessing that they had received and thinking about what they were going to do and how they were going to act and their family would see them again and they were given a new lease on life and they're just as happy as they could be, but they forgot the God of heaven. Brethren, we have less excuse than anybody on this earth not to be or for being unthankful to God. We have no excuse for that. Do you love God? If I asked everybody here in the auditorium, how many of you love God? Guess how many hands would go up? Every hand in this auditorium. You know why? Because there's not a one of us here in this auditorium that wants to be thought of by our brethren as not really loving God. So every hand would go up. But I want you to examine your heart tonight. Does your heart contain the love for God that it should? The appreciation to God for what He's done for you and what He continues to do for you. Without that in your heart, how can you be in a right relationship with Him? It is essential to our prayer life. Just as much so as God demands our praise, He also requires our thanksgiving. If you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have opportunity to become a child of God and to enjoy the great privilege of prayer. Remember, we talked about earlier that God's face is turned away from those who do evil. That means He doesn't hear their prayers. And doing evil doesn't mean necessarily going out and selling dope or abusing kids or whatever. It means not obeying God. That's evil. Refusing to obey the gospel is evil. Refusing to live faithfully according to the directions of the New Testament is evil. And God turns His face away from those who do those things. I don't want God's face to be turned away from me. I want Him to hear me in my distress, in my need. I want Him to hear me as I appreciate what He's done for me and I thank Him for it. But I know that He's not going to hear me if I'm not His child. If you've not obeyed the gospel, won't you realize that you are utterly and completely alone spiritually? And no matter how well you may feel about yourself, you're out on a limb that's about to be sawed off. And you better scramble off that limb while you can and obey God. If you're in error as a child of God, you're on that same limb and you're sawing away. You're sitting on the wrong side of the limb as you're sawing. And if you don't realize that and come back to God before it's too late, you're going to fall too. And everything that you think you have as a child of God is going to be for nothing. Hebrews 10, Hebrews 6. Thinking about these things, are you grateful to God? Do you glorify God by your life? If you have need to respond to the invitation in any way, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing to encourage you.